had a Karen come up to me after the show. Yeah, and she got all up in my face. And she goes, you know, that story you told about the Uber driver was racist. And I said, what part about that was racist? She goes, how do you know he was Mexican? And I said, oh, I'll tell you how I know he was Mexican, Karen. He had a portrait of the Last Supper airbrushed on his tailgate. That's how the fuck I know he was Mexican, Karen. You're coming at the wrong one, Karen. I happen to be a fan of airbrushed tailgates. And only Mexicans are keeping them alive. And I would simply like to say gracias. Okay? I live right here, too. I've seen some beautiful Jesus pieces in traffic all around Southern California. So maybe you're the racist, Karen. Clearly, you've never been to San Bernardino.
Hey, guys, I just want to say thank you so much. My special lefty son is out, and we are, at the time of this recording, we're already over 300,000 views. So thank you so much. I appreciate all your support. If you haven't watched it yet, I promise you it's a great watch. I directed this thing. I produced it. I put a lot of time into this thing. I was in the hospital dying and still making notes on it. So go watch it if you haven't yet. Share it. Like it. Comment on it. Get it out there in that algorithm. Go support Lefty Son. It's available on my YouTube now, and it is free. Thank you for your support.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pants Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com. Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Ryan Sickler, thanking you for watching this show. Thank you for supporting this show. Thank you for commenting on this show. If you love it, hit that subscribe. It's also a free way to help the show. All right. And if you got to have more, then you got to check out the Patreon. It's called The Honeydew with Y'all. I talk about it every week. I'm going to continue to talk about it every week because I love my fucking job. And these stories, I'm telling you every week, I say, what are we going to hear now? And every week I'm like, holy fucking shit, because you all have the wildest stories I've ever heard in my life. And I've heard a lot of shit. Okay. So for $5 a month, you get the entire catalog. You get audio, you get video, you get the Honeydew a day early. You get it ad free. You get it at no additional cost. If you sign up for a year, you get almost a month free of episodes. All right. It's honestly, it's, I know $60 a year is a lot for people. So if you've got the money, trust me, it's worth it. Go check it out. All right. If you're looking for a new podcast, yeah, I'm promoting an old podcast. It's called The Crab Feast. It's audio only. It's a storytelling podcast, and it's fantastic. I'm telling you, every comic you love that's in podcasting now is on those episodes. It's a 7+ year library. Take you forever to rip through it. It's good fun. Go check it out. All right. Now, you guys know what we do over here. We highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. I am very excited to welcome this guest. First time here on The Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Chase O'Donnell. Welcome to The Honeydew, Chase.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having
me. Yeah, you're a pleasant energy already. You came up. You got good energy.
Good.
I'm very excited to talk to you. But before we do, please plug and promote everything Chase O'Donnell, all of it.
Okay. Instagram is really where everything is, Chase_O'Donnell.
Listen, if you don't follow Chase on Instagram, you have to. Your shit is
I
watch all of them. The actual like musical in real life shit. Like I'm scared. I have anxiety for you that someone's going to like hurt you when you're singing next to them on a bus or a subway or something. I always like, God, please don't hurt her.
I sometimes drink alcohol before doing those. But I'm just like,
I would too. And I wouldn't blame you. You gotta work up some.
I can't believe you like those.
Oh, I love
them. Thank
you. Yeah, I watch all of them. You and who was the older man you just did one with?
Kevin Chamberlain.
Yeah, that was a great
one. He's like a big Broadway guy and reached out, and I was like, oh my God.
Really? See, that's how ignorant I am. I have no idea.
I'm at 10 million TikTok followers.
Lost this guy with some guy, like some extra to email.
Huge, huge Broadway Tony nominated. Yeah.
Oh, he's Tony
Who's that guy?
Who's that old fart in that video with you?
But yeah, they're so very good. Scary, but fun.
They look scary. Yeah, and they look fun. Like, every time, like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, because I like to watch where you're going to go. I'm like, oh, here's a great setup. Where's this fucking punchline
going? I just did one in a golf course, and golfers are scary.
Yeah, they're real fucking
because
protective.
Because I had to, like, run out, like, in between their, like, shots to make sure I wasn't going to get hit with a golf ball. So sometimes I risk my life for the comedy.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
So check out Chase _ O'Donnell. And then... my special,
yes,
People Pleaser, just came out, and that's on YouTube. And would love, do I look here?
Yeah.
I'd love you to watch you. It. That's it. ChaseO'Donnell.com.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. And are you out on tour? You're on tour. You go out with Christina? Do you
also
have your own dates?
Yeah, I go out with Christina. I have my own dates. They're all on ChaseO'Donnell.com. Mm. I'm doing UC Santa Barbara this weekend. But that's for college kids.
That's fun. Santa Barbara's a fun town. I've done comedy up there a bunch.
That's where I went to school.
I've done UC Santa Barbara. I did a show there with Sam Tripoli, and we had a lady take a shoe off and throw it at us. Yeah, well, I was on stage. Well, then there was an exit door right here, so I took her shoe and I opened the exit door, and I just kept that motherfucker. I thought it was like, you know, I thought it was a relay, and I just threw her motherfucking shoe. I was like, now.
Oh, no.
Now you
now
can walk
I'm
out there with one shoe and go
now
get
I'm
that
nervous.
Lady.
Okay, well, hopefully they like me and don't
throw
shoes.
Yeah, I'm sure. You're a people pleaser.
I am. Yeah, I do. I try really hard.
But see, it's something I really do want to talk about. So I do know a little background on you only because I'm friends with Christina and stuff, and I've sort of put things together, and Kirsten's told me things. But you, Christina worked for your dad. That's how you met Christina. And before we started recording, you were saying she was really someone you looked up to and someone who's certainly taken you under her wing, especially in the world of fucking comedy.
Yeah.
But you didn't always grow up in the world of comedy, so to speak. So
no.
You're local, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Agora. Do you know the valley?
I know Agora Hills.
Hills.
Okay, I know Agora Hills.
I grew up dancing. My mom was my dance teacher, and I like lived at our dance studio. I was there every day after school, 3 to like 10 p.m.
I'm going today to see my daughter.
You are. She dances.
She just started. And I've been in the hospital and missed her first two, and it's made me so sad. So today's the first one I get to go watch.
Is it ballet she's doing?
It's ballet and tap.
Oh, my two favorites.
I see you just it is.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll be in there crying. I'm like,
I'll be on my game. It's so good. Like, I think dance like trains, like it teaches you such discipline. And I know sports do the same thing, but all I know is dance. And I'm so grateful that I had dance training. So I'm glad you put
no, I like
dance.
That discipline. Sports to me, more importantly than discipline, was also camaraderie and
teammates
and learning how to work well with others, things like that. Dance and comedy. Unless you're in
solo.
A group, they're solo sports. They're
solo
tennis.
Sports. You're, you know you're I mean? In it for yourself.
Yeah, 100%.
That's tough.
Yeah. But comedy also teaches you discipline if you're going fucking for it for real.
Yeah.
You know
oh,
what I mean?
My.
You better be disciplined.
And you have to really learn how to love yourself when you're bombing.
Yeah, you already hate yourself. You
yeah,
got to learn how
you
to love
gotta
yourself.
You
got to
learn how to love yourself.
It starts with
it's a journey. But
I'm still on it.
Me too.
I'm still on it.
I'm just figuring it out.
I'm like, you guys are talking about a fork in the road. When I got there, there were like 7 different ways to go. And I think I picked 3 of the wrong ones. You know?
There's like a million different ways. Yeah. Anyways, dance was my
escape,
but also just like all I did. It was my life. I didn't necessarily choose it. I was just put into it because that's my mom was a dance teacher. So we went to dance. And
but did you love it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or did you grow to love it?
I always am like, if I got to choose a sport, because my parents might put my older sister into like soccer, karate, gymnastics, diving. Like she did like everything and then picked dance. So I just was thrown into dance. I often wonder, is that what I would have picked? But I'm so glad that I did. I think
you use it on the gram nonstop.
Yeah, I and I'm I'm like, I don't say this about any other thing in my life, but I know I'm really good at dance.
You are, yeah.
Because I have just like so much training. It's unbelievable. And just a lot of time performing. It was always nutcrackers and recitals and dance competitions and whatever it was. I just like my life from age 2 to 18 was on the stage. So
okay, I have two questions. Do you ever just like fucking hit a spin around the house or something like that for yourself?
Of course. You should see me going on walks because I listen to music and I have to go, is anyone watching? And then I'll like, I'll start dancing. Yeah.
Tell me real quick, what are the dance moms and dads like? Are they just as aggressive as the sports parents?
Oh.
Or pageant moms?
I thought you were going to say, have you ever seen the show Dance Moms?
No.
Well, that's what it's like. Check out the show. I don't know what sports parents are like. I've never experienced it.
My brother told me he yelled at a ref and they had to kick him out in front of everybody in the basketball court. I'm like, why are you yelling like that? He's like, because the guy sucked.
Yeah.
He said, don't worry, I'll leave. I'm tired of watching you blow calls all night.
Okay, it's a little different because you can't be like doing a ballet piece and the moms aren't like, go get him, girl. Yeah. You got it. Yeah. So it's not like that. But there are pushy stage moms
stage
and dads.
Mom.
Yeah, you get the dads. Stage parents in dance. And then you get some really chill parents that are like, whatever. So
growing up here, you get into dance. Dance is all you do.
All I do. And until it was around high school, ninth grade, that High School Musical, the Disney Channel mm-hmm. original film came out. Did you watch it?
No.
Okay.
But I know it very well. I know
huge,
it.
Huge, yeah. Huge success huge. For the Disney Channel. And I was like, oh, that's what I want to do with my life. And I was like, I'm going to be not just a dancer, but like an actor and singer and do it all. And I told my parents, like, I want to get me into auditions right now.
Okay.
And they were like, absolutely not. They would not let me audition and try, which is, in hindsight, very good. Child actors don't have the best lives. But they were very supportive of, like, if that's what you really want, then go take class. And they put me into acting classes. And I went to a performing arts high school. And I then, like, in college, majored in theater. And I just, it's been a lot of, like, training to get there.
To get to comedy.
To get to comedy. Like, to literally, I don't know of any other parents like, all right, that's what you want to do. Go train. So I have so much just, like, dance training, acting, singing, theater, Shakespeare, Chekhov. Like, I just am so, I dove so deep into it. But I didn't, like, go do it. I just trained for a long, long time.
So how does things shift in high school?
In which way?
Well, you and I talked earlier about this being...
High school was rough for me.
Yeah.
So I went to two high schools. Ninth and 10th grade was Agora High, which miserable. And then 11th, 12th grade, things got a little better when I went to the Performing Arts High School. But Agora High was so tough personally because, like I said, I was like obsessed with High School Musical. I was obsessed with Disney Channel. I like my role models were Zach and Cody from The Suite Life of Zach and Cody and Hannah Montana. And all the kids I was going to school with were watching like The OC and The Simple Life. And like,
I see.
And Agora is like right next to Calabasas. This is like the Kardashian type people I was going to school with. And I just felt so different. And I wasn't like into partying. And I would go to my dance studio and dance and then go to school and be like, oh, I don't fit in here. And the tough part, I think, was that I just, because my role models were these Disney Channel kids, I didn't know anything. Like, one kid was like, hey, Jace, do you party? And I remember being just like really offended. And I was like, yes. But I thought he was talking about birthday parties.
You really did.
Like, I didn't know there was another type of party that you could go to.
Yeah. You could go to.
I didn't know. And then, and I talk about, I have a lot of jokes about this from high school because, like, I wore this shirt all the time that had 69 on it. But I didn't know, Brian, that it was a thing.
Your mom and dad never said anything?
They knew. I think.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Hey there, Ryan Reynolds here. It's a new year, and you know what that means. No, not the diet, resolutions. A way for us all to try and do a little bit better than we did last year. And my resolution, unlike Big Wireless, is to not be a raging and raise the price of wireless on you every chance I get. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.
I think my parents were like, we gotta make her a little cool. Like, I think they knew.
Okay.
But I've talked to my mom about it and was like, why did you do this? She's like, I don't know. I thought it's fun. Like, she really didn't.
Fun.
She didn't know. She's like, the kids wear it. It's Abercrombie and Fitch. And kids would be like, do you know what that means? And I'd be like, yeah. And I've learned never to say you know what something means when you don't, because people will follow up. And I would get like just so humiliated because I didn't know what anything meant. And then I just like, I'm thinking of a story. I always got detention because I was in, can you believe?
No, you see my eyes.
Thank
I was like, you?
I know.
And you said always, not, I wouldn't be surprised if you said one time. What are you getting detention for?
I was in zero period so that I could get out at 12 to go to dance. And zero period started at 6 a.m.
Ugh.
I know. So I had to be up at like 5 a.m. I'd be getting home at like 10 p.m.
What's
doing
zero
homework.
Period anyway? Is that homeroom? Like, is that where you just check in to make sure you're in the building and then you go to class?
It's like some people could choose to start school at 6 to get off at 12.
I see.
Whereas everyone else started with first period at like whatever time, 8, 7:30. So I was late every day and I just built up all these detentions and I had to go to Saturday detention where all the cool kids go. And I couldn't go because I had Nutcracker rehearsal. And my mom walked me in with my ballet clothes and she's like, gets me out of detention.
In ninth grade?
10th grade.
Man. Nuh-uh. In your ballet outfit?
I'm in ballet clothes.
On a Saturday detention.
And I go to the other side of the room. And then she goes, come on, Chase. Let's go. Got you out of detention in front of all the kids. I'm already not cool. And I had to like be like, okay. And I leave. And then the school didn't know what to do with me because I had all these detentions and I couldn't do Saturday detention. So they made up a detention just for me that no one at Agora High knew was detention. And I was just driving around with the janitor after school.
What are you talking about? Are you lying to me right now? Who puts a kid with a janitor?
It was like for 3 months.
What are you talking about?
After school.
Where's he going? He should be on the property.
The janitor would drive around in his golf cart?
No.
And clean up the school.
No.
And the kids thought I was friends with the janitor. No one knew it.
But did that give you cool points or were you extra dorky
for that? Okay. I would like waved in the golf cart, like, just because I didn't know what to do, and kids wouldn't wave back. Like, I just remember being like, Chase, don't wave.
Parade wave if you do, though.
Yeah, like,
parade wave if you do. Parade wave if you do.
It was so humiliating. But I got through that phase of my high school.
What was his name?
I don't remember.
How do you not remember? You spent 3 months with this guy.
I
know.
I don't think I really talked to him. I think I was like so embarrassed.
He didn't chit-chat you up?
No. And I think he's like, who's this girl? Like, why does she have to come around with me?
He's got the tension too.
Yeah, like, what is she doing?
I'll tell you what you're going to do.
In this golf cart with me.
I want to know who the fuck thought of that. And somebody was like, that's a good idea. Send her out there with Larry. Let her clean up the cans.
They didn't know what to do with me. So I had, and like literally because it wasn't a real detention, like nobody understood what I was doing after school with the janitor. So I would pretend I was Hannah Montana and I'd be like, these kids, they don't know after school, I'm a rock star and they wish they were my friend. I like really channeled Disney Channel. Like it was my savior in high school.
Okay.
So I wanted to be homeschooled really, 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 really bad. I would cry most days after school. I was just so, I just didn't fit in.
Would you say you were being bullied or were you just more being embarrassed of the way the differences in your growing up and their growing up?
I don't know. There was like, there's mean girls that like if I wore a shirt that was like, I love rock and roll. They'd be like, do you love rock and roll? Name three bands. Like, just mean stuff. And so is that bullying? One time, you know
what? I mean, they would say today it is, but I just feel like that's fucking normal shit. That's
okay,
just
I told this
kids.
Story one time, and I didn't think it was bullying. And then someone was like, yes, this is bullying.
Let's see.
Okay, I didn't know what a dildo was.
I can only imagine. Of course you did.
And some guy in class was like, oh, the teacher had a dildo. And I was like, no way. And they're like, you don't know what that is, do you? And I was like, yes. And they're like, what? And then I had to be like, I don't know. So they like tell me what it is. And then for like probably 3 or 4 weeks, these guys would follow me around campus going, like making vibrating noises. Is that bullying?
Did they call you dildo? Hey, dildo. Or were you dildo for 3 weeks as a nickname? Because if yes, then I would say yes, it's bullying. If they walk behind you and buzzed, I don't know if that's just being an asshole or bullying, but it stopped.
No, they didn't
Their
call
batteries
me dildo.
Ran out, I guess.
Well, and then what? Okay, their batteries ran out because I'd pretend like I didn't hear them.
You just ignored them and they went away.
But I never got called dildo. I got called puke face.
Why?
And this was at my new high school.
Oh, no. Wait, can I ask you a question real quick? We're going to come back to puke face.
Okay.
Did you ever connect with another person like you? You didn't find soul in
whole
school? Okay.
I had one, my best friend to this day, Haley.
Okay, from the first school.
Yeah, she and I went to the same dance studio, and we like had each other.
Okay, good.
In high school.
So— one of the terrible things, at least you got your best friend out of it.
Oh, yeah. And we cry laughing talking about high school because of the humiliation we both went through.
Was she like the same way? Like, would you run to each other like, what's a dildo? I don't know.
I called her. I immediately called her. I was like, you have to know what a dildo is because if this happens to you.
If this happens
you have to be prepared. And so like we would help each other out. And we also like we got invited to a real party and there were there's drinking going on and we were like, what? Drinking? And a lot of it was me just pretending to be cool because I would always be like, yeah, I know what 69 is. Yeah, I do. So both of us put water in the cup and we were like walking around with water and everyone was like, you guys drink? And we're like, yeah. So I had her to go through that with. Puke face happened. We moved. It was like 2007, the recession time. Mm-hmm. And
did you both go to the same school or were you devastated that you weren't going to have your best friend in high school anymore?
I was devastated.
Okay. So
but we were both like, I knew I was lucky because I got to start over. It was actually more exciting for me getting to go somewhere else.
Right. Because this is an actual art school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
but it's hard switching as a junior.
Yeah, you're in the middle of everything. Well, I was going to say, no offense, usually you have your friends. Sorry, you just had a
friend. I only had one friend. I had a lot of friends at my dance studio.
That's what I mean. Usually you play sports or whatever, you got your friends.
It was all at the dance studio.
Yeah, you got nothing.
Yeah, nothing. I had nothing.
You just leave behind your best friend and a bunch of, and your janitor buddy. Yeah,
I begged my parents. I was like, can I just be homeschooled? God. But anyways, OSHA was great. I listened to the episode with Jody Sweden. I went to the same high school she did.
Okay, all
I didn't know that she went there. Anyways, good performing arts high school. And all of a sudden, I found other high schoolers that were also into like musicals and Disney Channel. And like, I found my people there. But I was still very naive for high school. Anyways, my senior year, my sister was in college, and my sister's really cool. I should mention that. she was like, Chase, like, you got to drink. You have to drink. It's weird that you don't. And I was like, oh, okay. And I'll do what she tells me. And she was like, you can have like 5 shots.
Oh my God.
I know.
That's a lot. Yeah.
That's a lot. And I was like, okay.
No offense. Your size, probably even smaller than there. Like smaller frame, everything. And 5 shots is a lot.
I know. I didn't know, but I was like, now I know. So, and she's like teaching me drinking games. So it was like the first party of senior year. And I was like, I'm ready. And I took 5 shots, just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Jeez. You didn't space them out over the night.
She clearly didn't teach me how drinking worked. Because
what was it? What did you have? Do you remember?
Tequila.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
And people were cheering me on. They're like, oh, my God, Chase drinks now. This is amazing. And I was like, yeah, I do. Like, who's welcome? Yeah, this earth to whoever. I drink now. And then it was like probably a minute later, because I took it all very fast. And I was like, I don't get it. Like, how does this work? I was like, I can, give me 5 more. And I took 10 shots.
No.
Within like 5 minutes.
You did not.
The first time I ever drank.
10?
You thought 5 was bad.
Yeah, I did.
I took 10.
You doubled down on that shit?
Yeah, I was like, I can do, give me another round of 5. It just didn't work.
What?
And I...
What happened to
I truly, I blacked out.
You have to.
I remember sitting down at a couch, and then I woke up the next day at the house, just covered in throw up.
Your house? Oh, same house.
At OSHA, it's like a commuter school. Okay. People from all over Orange County go there. So whenever there was a party, there were sleepovers. Like, everyone just stayed at the house. So I woke up at the house, and I was covered in throw up. And I was like, that's weird. I had no idea what happened. And I didn't think anything happened. And then I walked out. People were having breakfast. They're like, you had a fun night. I found out that I had been throwing up the whole night, just like in people's purses.
Oh, no.
Like on myself, in the closet. Just all I was doing was throwing up for like the entire night. And so I went to school on Monday. When I walked into class, the whole class applauded. Kind of like, wow, she's alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
I was going to say, alcohol poisoning is a real thing.
I think I should have gone to the hospital.
10 shots and nonstop throwing up. Yeah.
And then I got called puke face for a long time. And I remember I was like on a field trip and no one sat next to me. Because they're like, we don't want to sit next to puke face.
Yeah, I would say
is that bullying?
Yeah, that is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got bullied.
You definitely got bullied, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right there. I feel like that's also like older sibling type shit too. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But I'm different. I know some people say that is bullying. Somebody said that's bullying. I guess. I guess.
Yeah, I never thought of it as bullying. But I
just thought.
Because I never got like punched or like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I thought bullying was.
Me too. Originally, me too. Like, I'm not touching you or hurting you. It's just because we were always taught the stupid fucking, what is it? Names will never hurt me, all that shit. You know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never. It was like, who cares? They're just words. That's what we were always taught. If someone says something at school, just ignore it, whatever.
Yeah.
That's what we were taught. Even a stranger. Your brother, your whatever. Just who gives a fuck what they say? Don't let them bug you.
Yeah.
And then we wouldn't. you know, or at least if we did, you got punched and they were like, what happened? I'm like, you know, it was sticks and stones today, motherfucker.
Yeah,
it was sticks and stones today. Yeah.
Yeah. So, same thing happened. My sister in college told me to eat a weed brownie.
How many did she tell you to eat? And how,
well, she told me to eat half of a weed brownie, and I did. And then I blacked out at Six Flags. I was on a date. It was a date party. And I passed out.
Let's jump back to that real quick. What is a date party?
You weren't in the Greek system?
I wasn't.
Okay, by the way, in college, I was really cool by college.
Where'd you go to school?
UC Santa Barbara.
All right. Oh, yeah. You just said you were performing.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I was so cool in college. So I was in a sorority, and there were, like, date parties are a thing. You, like, go on, you invite a date, and then you go somewhere fun. And this,
and, like, what? Like, six or seven couples or more?
Oh, like, in a sorority, there's about 150 girls. So,
oh, shit. This is big.
It's a huge party. And this one just happened to be to Six Flags. And my date was like, we should take a weed brownie. And I was like, let me call my cool sister who, like, knows this stuff. And she was like, take half, you'll be fine. And I passed out. I was on a roller coaster and was kind of like blacking out. And then and then I was like, I need to sit down. I was literally in the food court for the whole date party and my poor date. So my sister has led me astray two times really poorly. Yeah. I now don't listen to what she says.
We're not listening to cool older sister. Yeah, fuck
cool
that.
Cool older sister. Nah. I can't listen to her anymore.
Stay cool over there. Yeah. There's no quick fix for anxiety and depression. It's not finding a new therapist or starting an exercise routine. It's not more and regular meditation or a better diet. Sometimes you need something to unlock your brain, a new way of thinking about and seeing the world. Maybe that thing is guided ketamine therapy from MindBloom. There's a new tool to improve your mental health. It's at-home ketamine therapy. MindBloom is the leader in at-home ketamine therapy, having safely helped thousands of people overcome their anxiety and depression. Unlike traditional talk therapy, ketamine works quickly and doesn't have the unpleasant side effects of traditional antidepressants. In a study of over 1,200 MindBloom clients, 89% reported improvements in their anxiety and depression after only two sessions. Right now, MindBloom is offering my listeners $100 off your first six-session program when you sign up at mindbloom.com/honeydew and you use the promo code honeydew. Take the first step and break free from your anxiety and depression with MindBloom. MindBloom.com/honeydew and use promo code honeydew. Buying tickets to your favorite events should not be stressful. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting excited for the fun you'll have. The Game Time app makes it insanely easy to buy tickets for any event in your area. Once you open the app, you can sort by popular events in your area, by event type, whether it's sport, music, or shows. You can do it by the venue, and they even have the category of events under $50, so you can find something that fits your budget. It's the fastest growing ticket app in the country for a reason. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. You can get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. I just used it. We just all went to the Kings game. We used the Game Time app. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find the tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code HONEYDEW for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code HONEYDEW for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Now, let's get back to the do.
Anyways, I jumped ahead to college, but that's the gist of high school.
Let's go to college then. So are you still dancing and performing in high school?
Yeah. So at OSHA, you like major in high school. So I majored in theater. And still was like taking dance, but doing all the like musicals. And that too was like, you go to school till 3 and then you have your conservatory classes till 5, and then you have rehearsal till 10.
This is very, when I listen to it structure-wise, it sounds very almost like the way people apply religion to their lives, too. You know
oh,
what
really?
I mean? Going to school, I'm going here after school, then I'm going to mass in the evening, then I go home and I do it again. It's just interesting that dance was that for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's school, I'm doing dance and performance, I'm going here, and then I'm going to this dance. Now, this dance, this after school dance that your mom teaches, do they also have plays and performances? So are you performing in the community, so to speak, with this group, and then also doing things in school, performances in school too?
No, because when I moved, we moved away. We moved to Orange County. So
oh,
I wasn't
way away.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I was no longer in the same dance studio. And yeah, so I just was doing the performing arts high school. So
and did you want to go to college for that as well?
Yeah.
You did.
I didn't really want to go to college. I wanted to just go straight into acting. But again, my parents were like, no, you're going to college. So yeah, it was just a ton of rehearsals. And I think that's why, I mean, I never got into drinking or drugs or anything because I was so focused. I definitely had like, this is what I'm doing.
And so what do you major in college?
So I went to college for theater.
Okay.
And dance.
So the same two things.
Yeah. Really smart choices for, I now have a lot of student debt for theater and dance. And yeah, same thing. Like I always felt like when I was in college, my friends were majoring in like communications or this, and they never went to class because they were like all lectures, didn't matter. But in the theater program, there were only 11 of us, so you had to show up. And then I was in the play every...
The whole college, only 11 of you?
Yeah, well, it was a cut system, so you had to like keep passing.
Oh, shit,
cuts.
Okay, so this was...
And yeah. Then I kept honestly trying not to get cast in plays because when you're cast... Then you have rehearsals every night, like 6 to 10. So it's the same thing. But I was in a play every quarter of all 4 years. So I just like constantly, I really studied theater. And then I would like run home and go to a party and then like wake up and go to 8 a.m. ballet. So it was very rigorous for theater and dance.
And then you get out of college and what do you do with that degree?
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I was auditioning while I was in college. And one thing I got my senior year or junior year, my dance teacher growing up was really good friends with JC Chazé from NSYNC.
Yeah. Okay.
And JC was starting a girl group, and my dance teacher was casting it. So I didn't mean to be in a girl group, but I got cast in a, like, I was part of a girl group that JC started.
Are you being serious? You really were?
I really was.
What's the group?
Girl Radical.
Good for you. You made it?
Yeah, I was like... You wanted this?
Yeah, here
like,
it is.
Oh my God. It was like a dream come true. I was Chase Radical.
Oh, no, y'all had Radical.
Yeah, like
last
Spice
date.
Girls.
Okay.
But get ready. Most groups are like 5. There were 12 of us. So they were trying to do like the super K-pop groups that have like and they were trying to bring that to America. And it was interesting because, like, I was still in college and we would go record and I would drive out to LA. And, like, we never sang together. We all would go in one at a time, do our little part. And then, like, we never rehearsed. We never, like, were together as a group.
It's all very manufactured and produced, put together.
Yeah. And then.
So you never saw the other girls or anything in the group?
I did. They tried to make a reality show out of it. So they did like a weekend of taping where we were all together and they wanted to start drama. They would like ask us, who's your least favorite in the group? Okay, now go confront them. Like they were trying to make a whole thing out of it. So as you can imagine, lots of drama in the group. And then America's Got Talent reached out and was like, we'd love you guys to perform on the show, like audition.
Girl Radical's gonna perform. Okay.
Which, like I said, we had never done like stuff together.
Never. No, not one live performance.
No.
Okay.
So we did it. And
can I ask you, what do you do? Do you do an original song? Do you do a popular song with a dance routine?
We did a cover of I'm Just a Girl by No Doubt.
Okay.
The problem is I'm Just a Girl by No Doubt is kind of ironic. And she's saying like, I'm just a girl. And blah, right. blah, like she's like making fun of the fact.
Of course.
Girl Radical took it very literally and did it like, I'm just a girl, and didn't really get the irony of the song. Anyways.
Is that JC directing that? Who made that call? I don't know what JC's thinking so far.
I don't remember.
Sounds like a lot of missteps here.
I was wearing jeans and a top, but a lot of the girls were in like booty shorts and like
cropped. Oh, you all didn't match? You didn't have a uniform or anything like that?
No.
You were allowed to be individual even though you were all radical?
Yeah, we were like our own style.
Your own radical self. Got
it. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You
said they're all wearing booty shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and here's the thing. I've never been pursuing singing and like it wasn't like my first passion. So it was kind of just like I was in the background. I got in the group more for my dancing, and then I was just like a little backup chorus girl, whatever. So I'm just saying that because we got on stage and within 18 seconds, we were X'd. Who's counting, though? 18 seconds.
18 seconds.
So, you know, you get X'd, but you can't stop until you get X'd by everyone. So you have to keep going. And then we're dancing and we start getting booed by 3,000 people.
That's a lot of fucking people to be booing.
Have you been booed by 3,000? Okay.
No. I performed in front of 3,000.
But they didn't all boo you?
And they didn't. And I'll tell you what, if they did, it would be something else. I would.
I often say, I do think.
That's a lot of boos coming at
everyone
you.
Everyone should be booed by 3,000 people. Just to, you know.
Yeah, but you're in the comfort of 11 others. Imagine that just for you.
Well, exactly. I'm so lucky it wasn't for stand-up because I probably would have just stopped everything for the rest of my life.
Everything.
I was lucky that it was.
Well, I'd be scared to leave the house.
I would have never done anything again.
I think people boo me getting the mail. Boo! You suck at getting that mail, man. I'm like, God damn, everybody.
So, yeah, I'm very lucky it was with 12 people. And then the judges, like, you know, it's Heidi Klum and
Howie Mandel, Simon, and Sharon Osbourne then?
No, it was Scary Spice.
And you guys were up there doing a sort of a Spice Girl-ish thing.
Oh, and no one had any good things to say. And every time a judge was like, I don't get it, the crowd would be like, woo! Like, they would cheer when the judges would talk bad about us. So a very humbling experience. But I feel like that's a low light to live through. I don't think a lot of people have experienced that level of shame.
No. Public shame. And not only are you getting booed by 3,000 people, it's a lot of people right there, but now it's also on television.
Well, every Tuesday. Yeah. Every Tuesday, it was like, oh my God, is this the day it's going to air? And I would like go hide and curl in a ball. They never aired it.
Is that right?
There was some sort of suing that happened or something. There was a lot of threats that if this came out, I don't know, they somehow finagled it because it would have been gold for TV. Really amazing. But the group broke up before we even got off stage. I think we were broken
before
up.
Before we got off.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I think we were already broken up. And then. But I just have to say, I love JC Chazet with all my heart. And he came to my special and like,
did
he's
really?
So supportive.
Oh, he's still supportive of you? And, oh, that's actually very cool. Okay,
oh
good.
Oh my gosh. It was the coolest experience to like get to work with him. And I was such a fan of NSYNC and like that overall very cool experience. But the getting booed on stage was a humbling one.
Yeah, that will ground you.
Yeah.
So he saw you get booed and then saw you get cheered.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're special. That's yeah. Awesome. Fuck yeah. Good. Good.
I know. He's been very supportive. Anyways, so that was like during college and a little after. And then I got cast and I was auditioning like immediately after college and I got cast in an off-Broadway musical. So I just moved straight to New York. And I...
At what age are you?
I was 22.
Okay.
And it was like literally living the dream, being a...
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Paid actor doing musical theater in New York. And that was amazing. But then the show got canceled. And then I was like, oh, now I'm a struggling actor living in New York.
Looking for work.
And let me tell you, not fun. I in college, the program at UCSB is very much about creating your own work. So I left college with a one-person show. So I...
Hey there, Ryan Reynolds here. It's a new year, and you know what that means. No, not the diet. Resolutions. A way for us all to try and do a little bit better than we did last year. And my resolution, unlike Big Wireless, is to not be a raging and raise the price of wireless on you every chance I get. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.
Was just like, okay, I'm going to create my own work. Because I was auditioning, but it's just rejection after rejection after rejection. It's just hundreds of rejections. And so...
That's it. It is.
And it's really like, I look back at like 22-year-old me and I was like, I was confident. Like I thought I was amazing and everyone should cast me and like I'm ready. And like by time I was 24, I was extremely depressed. So it only took 2 years of just constant rejection to see a huge difference in my like mental health. But I put on my one-person show. I turned it into a two-person show with one of my best friends in New York. And we did that. It was called Two Blondes. And then was auditioning throughout it. Also had like 7-day jobs trying to support myself. And it's just, have you ever lived in New York? You've always been LA.
Oh, yeah. I was Baltimore. Originally from Baltimore, so I was over the winter and shit, and I was like, I'm gonna go to LA, yeah. Fuck New York, yeah. Only because of the winter. I also like LA. I really do like it here. It's slower paced. It's not that aggressive East Coast pace. It's much more laid back. The weather's fucking great.
I agree. You know? But it took me living in New York to be like, oh, I lived in the best place in America.
I like to drive, too. You yeah. know what I mean? I like to drive.
I didn't realize.
You don't need to drive in New York.
We have the air conditioning in the car, and it's sunny, and, like, we have the beach. Like, it just is so much nicer. And I hear people that live on the East Coast and move to New York have an easier adjustment than people on the West Coast that move to New York.
That would make sense to me. West Coast going east is harder than east going west.
Yeah.
Yeah, east going west, you just let your shoulders down after a little bit and try to chill. West going east, you better put your fucking fists up and get ready for it. You better be throwing uppercuts and elbows out there. Yeah.
I tell you.
I'm tired of throwing them.
Oh
yeah,
my
I came
God.
Out here to relax.
Yeah. So I'm a very sensitive as a Pisces, very empathetic, very like walking down the street and just seeing homeless people everywhere and people with signs like I have AIDS laying down. And like I just was constantly sad for everyone around me. And it was just really taking a toll on just I guess the word is I was depressed. I was crying every day. I was walking in the streets that crying.
Definitely depressed.
I hated the jobs I was doing. And that's when I realized, like, even though I'm pursuing like comedy, I was also doing stand up.
Well, that's what I want to ask you. When do you switch that? Because stand up is nothing like theater. I mean, maybe you can find the parallels in it, but it's not that. You know, do these things and you go here and do this.
Yeah.
It's just very much, it is what it is.
I started stand up as soon as I graduated college.
Okay.
It was like, okay, it's the way to like always be in control of your career. And I had a lot of tools on how to create my own work. And so I felt like stand up was always a way to like get up and perform and not have somebody, tell you that you're allowed to. So yeah, stand up I'd been doing as soon as I graduated. But like, you know, at the beginning, you can have one really good show and you're like, oh, I'm great. And then you bomb and just like the bombs are so awful.
Yeah.
And I just had so many bombs where people would be like, who thought Chase was never gonna get off the stage? Or like just I apologized one time after a show because it went really bad. And the host was like, that's okay. It's just, this is a comedy show. So next time do comedy. Like,
I
just had so many bombs. And
that one stuck with you.
Yeah. I mean, so mean. So all the while, I mean, just living in New York is hard, but just constantly being rejected and like questioning, why am I even doing this?
So that's my question for you about comedy. Why are you doing this? Because if that's getting to you like that,
mm-hmm.
the only way to really find out what's funny, as you know, is to fucking bomb and make mistakes or be like, okay, either I'm not doing what I need to do with this material or this just isn't something I need to be pursuing.
Yeah.
Like that's the only way to go, okay, that worked. You
yeah.
know, how do you... Why do you stay with comedy if the already being rejected for acting and all these things is bothering you and depressing you so much?
I don't know.
The only way to succeed in comedy
is to keep bombing.
Yeah.
It's like so crazy to me.
Yeah.
It's because I decided when I was like 14, I was like, that's what I'm doing. Like, I'm going to be... It wasn't like so much a comedian, but I knew I wanted to like do comedy.
Mm-hmm.
In some form. So it's almost like I didn't want to let down my younger self. And I had this, even though like I was sad, it's like I had this knowing, I knew I was good. And I had enough validation throughout my life that I was like constantly getting praised and like in growing up, I knew that I was good enough. So I like had that knowing always that I was like, I know I just need to figure it out because for some reason I've had this confidence of like, I'm great. But that like kept getting
the world has a way of doing that too.
But there was still some part of me that was like, no, I know I'm good. I know I would watch people and be like, I'm so much better than that.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the only way I would like keep going because I had so many friends that just like straight out of college, they were already working and never stopped. And I was like, well, isn't that lovely? So I don't know. I did become very bitter. I became very sad. But I feel like I'm saying this and it seems like, oh, boo-hoo, you got sad because things didn't go your way, which doesn't sound good. But I was just very unhappy.
Well, depression's, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor or, you know, what language you speak. Depression's depression. When you're there, it doesn't matter how you fucking got there.
Yeah.
You got there from, I mean, it's not easy. If that's the job you take, imagine trying to be a doctor or something like that. And every time you go in to do a surgery or somebody like, you killed that guy. You failed. And then one time you get it right. You're like, here we go. You know what I mean? It doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
You're just failing nonstop to succeed.
And it was a lot of, talking about people pleasing, that was like my 20s was people pleasing.
Where does that come from? Is that like, and also, let me say this. I know I asked you a question, I'm cutting you off, but people pleasing might also be the thing that saved you because you wanted us, you just said, I didn't want to let my 14-year-old self down. And that fucking thing might be the very thing that was like, I'm not going to let that girl down either. So even though we're about to talk about maybe it's a detriment, it also might be the very thing that kept your fire going.
I pleased myself.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So where does it come from? Were you like always trying to make your parents happy, teachers happy? Like you were always the good girl?
Yeah.
Like
I was always an amazing student. I always wanted, I guess I got continual praise for like, look, I did what they wanted me to do and I got praise for that. So I don't know exactly where it started from, but I didn't notice it until my 20s. And in my 20s, I think the reason I hit such a like rock bottom was because all of a sudden I realized like I'm not, everything I'm doing is because somebody told me to do this and someone told me to do that and my agent wants me to do this. And that like I wasn't doing anything I authentically wanted.
That resonates.
And that's
always saying
why
yes.
I wasn't happy. I really was just like just not living my life. I was doing the reason I had like 7 jobs. I didn't need 7 jobs. I did for the money, but I could have like found 1 job that worked for me. Someone would offer me something. I'd be like, okay, sure. And like I was just anything, I would do it. And I was so tired and so just pulled in so many directions. And I wasn't focusing on like the main goal, which was comedy. I was doing a million other things besides stand up. So I think it took a huge toll on me that I wasn't living for myself. And I got kicked out of my apartment in New York. So it was like Brooklyn was, Bushwick has become very gentrified. Mm-hmm. And in 2018, it was like starting that and they like paid everyone in the building to leave, but we had to move. And me and my boyfriend broke up and he broke up with me because I was crying every day, which never again will I cry to a boy. My God. he said he turned into my therapist. Oh, so it was really bad. So anyways, I was like, okay. I'm getting like pushed out of New York, like time to go. And I took the like little bit of money that they gave us to move. And I went to New Zealand and I spent a month in New Zealand and then went to Thailand and I had a little eat, pray, love.
Okay.
Cause I knew, I was like, I can't keep going on this unhappy. And
did you go solo?
I went with my friend had just quit her job and was going to New Zealand solo. And she was like, come with me. And I was like, okay, I will. So it worked out very magically. And it was just kind of my reset. I called it my quarter life crisis because it was really, I was like 26 and I was just like, this is a crisis. Like I also, all my friends that had done like normal jobs had gone into like 9-to-5s were all in such a different place in their lives. They like knew what they were doing and what direction they were going and they felt like they had stability. And I just was like, I don't have any stability. And so I went to New Zealand and Thailand. And then I came back, I moved home and I was like, I'm done with this business. I am going to, all I wanted to do was PA. Yeah. I just wanted to PA. I just wanted to be behind the scenes, but work on a comedy show. Because I was so over the being in front of the camera and putting myself out there, and it was just so draining. And I spent a year applying for PA jobs. Very tough to get, surprisingly.
Yeah. I am surprised.
Yeah, because once you're in, but to get into that circle. And I got a job on Curb Your Enthusiasm as
a PA. Did you? All right.
And I was like, oh, okay.
That's
and
a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. I was like, wait, before I say
it. Oh, no, no, great
okay,
job.
Good, thank God.
Great job. I, for some reason, having never PA'd, they put me in charge of Larry David, which.
No. Listen. I would feel like Larry David would have a person at this point that knew Larry David. You know what I mean? Larry David should have someone.
He has a personal assistant.
Okay.
But I was the PA that had to knock on his door, tell him when it was time to go to set, walk him to set, on set, keep eyes on him, make sure he knew what was going on. Like, so he also had someone that would like take care of his like food and certain things. But like, do you know Larry?
I don't know him personally.
So he like doesn't feel the need to fill a silence. And I do feel the need to fill a silence. So we'd like walk to set and he'd be like, how's the traffic, Larry? And he wouldn't respond.
At all.
No, because he doesn't need to respond. He doesn't. Who has time for that type of small talk? He's going to set. And then I would like hum to myself or like I'd try to.
How long's the walk?
That would have been like a 7-minute walk in silence.
That's a long time to ask someone a question who doesn't answer.
Oh, man, she was so pale. And I only have amazing things to say about Larry.
That's a long time, yeah.
But
I love it. You say, here's how you know I don't know him. You call him Larry. I call him Larry David, okay? I do not know Larry David, no.
I mean, I have Curb Your Enthusiasm Larry stories. I don't know if we go into them.
Yeah, tell me.
Okay. Well, I
You ever break the ice at all?
Yeah. But he did. So, yeah. No, like at the party, the rap party, it was like, Chase, you know, like we know each other. He's very sweet. But he did ask the ADs to tell me to stop stalking him.
No. Stalking him.
Because as a PA, I was supposed to know where he was at all times.
Keep eyes on him, all that.
And professional PAs who have been doing this a long time are very good at just being like, oh, okay, he walked over to Crafty. Okay, that's where he is. I'm going to stay put. I didn't know you could do that. I would literally follow him wherever he went. I was right behind him.
Hey, remember when you asked me if it was bullying and I didn't know if it was bullying? I would say that this is definitely stalking. I would say
this is stalking.
This is stalking. No, I'm just kidding. No. You didn't mean harm. I feel like stalking has an intent to mean harm.
I was so scared of not doing a good job and not knowing where he was.
It came from a good place.
So I literally one day we were filming at a hotel and I followed him to his hotel room. And he turned around and he said, Chase, you have to stop stalking me.
He did.
He did. And so then after that, the like next day we were filming at like a, I don't know, location. And he had his trailer and I knocked on the door. I was like 5 minutes and I didn't want him to think I was stalking him. But I still had to walkie and be like, okay, Larry's heading to set. You know, I still had to know. And there was a bush, and I stood behind the bush as to not seem like a stalker.
Yeah.
And Larry got out of his trailer. He walked right past the bush. Did he see me? Yes, he did. And we just looked at each other, just...
How is this not in a fuck? Is this in an episode?
No. I wish I had done something like, oh, there's my phone. Oh,
you didn't say anything?
No, we just looked at each other.
We
just locked eyes as I was standing behind a bush.
This is getting, okay. It is stalkerish.
Okay. Now,
oh, God.
Meanwhile, I was starting to do stand up again. Because I just wanted my life to be simple. I was like, I'm going to PA during the day and do stand up at night. And like, that's what my life is. I'm not going to be doing 100 million things. And So I was doing like, which PAing is like 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. Like it's terrible.
Yes, I was a PA for a while. It's a grind.
Hard to do stand up.
I've done
a couple
24 hour shifts as a PA. Yeah.
Yeah. So they start, I never told them I did comedy. I didn't want them to think I was PAing just to like be on the show or something. But it came out like I had to leave early. I was doing like a stand up competition. And I had to leave early, so I told them, and I won the competition.
Good for you.
Thank you. So I told the ADs just to let them, make them feel better about me leaving early. I was like, just so you know, I won. Thank you so much. And then news spread that I was a stand-up, and Adam, the AD, took my hand and like, walked me to the director, to Larry, to everyone. Chase does stand up. She won, blah, blah, blah. And when Adam told Larry, I was standing in front of Larry, and he said, Chase just won a stand up competition. She's really funny, blah, blah, blah. And there's a picture. Someone took a picture of Larry finding out that I do stand up. And it's a look of concern. Like he is so concerned because I can't have one single conversation with him. I'm like so awkward around
You're
him.
Behind bushes and
yeah.
shit.
Like yeah, he's like, yeah. And he goes, you do stand up? And he was so just shocked and floored. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, are you good? And I was like, I guess. And he was like, just don't talk about me in your set. And I was like, okay, got it. And that was his advice for my stand-up career. So he's like, just don't talk about me.
He can't get over it.
So anyways, they found out I did stand-up, and then during the pandemic, when they were filming again, I was able to go back because touring had stopped. And again, they were just like, they knew that at this point, like stand-up is what I was doing. And this newest season that they're filming now, they gave me a part on the show.
Hell yeah. All right. Did they?
And apparently they told me when...
Are you the stalker of PA?
No.
Oh, God. I wish you were. I wish you were. It'd be so no. funny. Like, this girl's following me everywhere.
But when apparently, like, the director's assistant told me that when they pitched me in the room to Larry to be the part that I was cast in, apparently he was like,
That's how you get it. Yes. That's reaction. A Larry David. Yeah. Yeah. That's fine.
But on set, like during after each take, I was like, how was that, Larry? How am I doing? And he was giving me notes.
Okay,
and, like,
good. All right.
I mean, we have
he didn't sit in silence for that.
No. Okay. He was like actually giving me like pointers and notes. He's like, do it this way. And I liked that, but don't do it that. Like it was really cool. It was like incredible, like full circle
Fuck
moment.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Listen, that's a perfect way to end this episode. I can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing humiliating moments. Look, I like these episodes. I know everybody worries about an episode like this. Like it doesn't measure up to, I told you before we recorded, I sit across from people every week. And I hear things where I'm like, what the fuck am I bitching about? You know what I mean? It is a perspective check.
Yeah.
This is so good because it explains so much about people and so much. We're so vulnerable at that age. I'm going to ask you now because you're first time here, but that high school pocket is a tough fucking gauntlet. It just is. There's so much going on. So what advice would you give to your 16-year-old self?
I love this question. I love that you ask this. I thought about it before and like my advice was like keep your YouTube channel because – I had one. They were like emailing me, do you want to get paid for your videos? And I was like, no. And I like stopped doing it. Can you imagine if I had kept that going? Anyways, I think my real advice would be like, you're going to get a lot of advice from a lot of different people soon. And instead of just doing that, really ask yourself if that's what you want. journal about it, meditate, and get clear on what you want before you take advice from other people who think they're helping, but you have to go with your gut and what you want.
Guts forever. That's the.
And I wish I had learned that a lot younger.
I learned it, and I wish I listened to it all the time. I still sometimes like, nope, my brain knows better,
yeah.
And it doesn't. It never does.
Yeah, I know.
Well, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. This was a fun episode.
Thank you.
Will you plug and promote everything again, please?
Okay. Chase_O'Donnell on Instagram, People Pleaser on YouTube, and, well, I guess my TikTok's Chase_Elaine, if you're a TikToker, and that's it. ChaseO'Donnell.com.
All right. Go see Chase live. As always, I am Ryan Sickler. Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Hey there, Ryan Reynolds here. It's a new year, and you know what that means. No, not the diet, resolutions. A way for us all to try and do a little bit better than we did last year. And my resolution, unlike Big Wireless, is to not be a raging a**hole and raise the price of wireless on you every chance I get. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.